Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Today I want to start teaching on a subject that I've titled The Divine Plan for Your Destiny. Before I start that discussion, I want to just quickly review some things that we have said in the past up till now in just a few sentences, especially what we said last session. Now, we have established the fact that words, when they enter into a man's heart, automatically they produce results. That is, you don't have to try to have words produce results in your life. Once they have entered and they are planted, they produce results. That is, life is controlled by the things that are generated by the words that enter into your heart. We've established in our previous discussions that imaginations that you find in a man's heart, they are more powerful than what he wills to do at certain times. That is, when a man has received words and information, that those words and information create a picture in his heart. And those pictures, they are in the subconscious, though, most of them, yet they guide the way the man behaves. Under pressure, how he responds is dictated by the pictures that have been painted by the words that have been planted in his heart. Now, we established the fact that many things that you hear every day, a lot of them don't make sense to you. But the ones, especially the ones that come from people that have authority in your life, when they enter into your heart, they control how your life becomes. We said that psychologists have studied the subject. They know that a man's subconscious contains things that affect his behavior. But we said that it is beyond his behavior. It affects also the way his business behaves. It affects how his family responds. It affects how things around in life generally respond to him. That whether the man will succeed or will fail will be dictated by the things that are inside his heart. Now, there's something I want to repeat again, because you cannot say it enough. And that is the fact that success and failure in life are not dependent upon a man's effort to succeed, or the effort he did not put in to succeed. We have established in our previous discussions that it is a gift of God. God looks at a man. You see, whether we like it or not, no matter how much scientists have tried, or even humanists have tried to make it appear as if life exists without God, it is a lie. God created the earth, and he has an order in which he has created this earth to be. And when you are walking on this earth, you have to walk according to God's order. Otherwise, the earth will not bring forth increase for you. However, when you are walking according to God's order on the earth, God will see your labor and reward your labor. We said it is not of him that wills, of him that runs, but it is of God that shows mercy. And that God's mercy is not a spontaneous thing. God just looks and closes his eyes and tosses his dice. And whoever it falls upon, the person will receive mercy. No. But I will say that he that shows mercy shall obtain mercy. The mercies of God are abundant upon them that fear him. Now, those are the things that we said. Now, let me just end it by making this statement. Words that you have received produce results by themselves. They don't need your trying. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, you don't try to please God. Listen to this. If you have received the word of God, you find out that you are walking in a manner pleasing to God automatically. What you have received and you have believed, those are the things that create subconscious pictures or imaginations in your mind or your heart, and they decide how you make decisions. Listen to that. They decide how you react under pressure. They decide the kind of man you will agree to marry or refuse to marry. They decide the kind of job you will be willing to take or not be willing to take. A lot of times, you know, we think that it's at that last moment that we're actually trying to make our decisions. The reality is that it is not so. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, having listened to the things that we have said in previous times, I want to now go on to today to talk about what I call the divine plan for your destiny. Now, I review those things because I want you to know that if you pay attention to this, now we're going to be on this for many weeks, and I will encourage everybody to make sure it doesn't miss these sessions and invite somebody else to listen in with you. Now, there was something I said last week. I said that when we're talking about the word always producing results, when we're studying from Mark chapter 4, talking about seed, Jesus said, "How shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or by what parable shall we present it?" He said, "It is like a mustard seed which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade." What I'm explaining here is this. Now, seeds always produce results. We said that. That is, once you have planted seeds, words, in people's hearts, in the environment, they by themselves produce results that we don't have to try. However, bad seeds produce bad results. Are you getting my point? You can sow seeds of failure into a child as a parent. Tell the child that you will never do well. The child will never do well. Not because he would not try to do well, but because deeply seated inside him is that principle of I can never do well. That's what the Bible calls the law of death, the law of sin and death. It's working in him to ensure that he does not ever succeed, despite the fact that he's trying. What I mean is this. Yes, it's a seed, but it's a bad seed. Do you follow my point? Now, but there's a kind of seed which if you sow it, it will always produce great results. That's why I read this portion again. It said, this seed must be the seed of the kingdom of God. It might be small when we plant it, like the mustard seed. But if it is sown upon the soil of your heart, listen, by itself, when it has produced results, you will be amazed at the kind of thing that God will bring from inside you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, if you have the right words inside you, listen, if God sends into the arena of doing business, you will build a company that will be valued in billions of dollars. Yet, it will start as a small idea. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, if God's word is inside you and you are a musician, you will release an album and people in Australia will be singing your song and you release it from here in Nigeria. Why? Because it came out of the bowels of the Spirit. It is the principle of the kingdom of God. The Bible said that the Lord dwells in the heavens, but his kingdom rules over all. There was something else he said. He said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Now, that word, that's from John chapter 5. He didn't say whoever. I used to think he said whoever. But he said whatever. That is, if an idea is born of God, that idea will overcome the world. What I'm saying is this. If the seed coming out of God, which is the sowing of the kingdom of God, is sown into a man's life, it will definitely produce results. Don't forget, he does not need to try. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That life is not about struggling. Life is about having heard the right thing, and the right thing is seated inside your heart. As you move, listen, it will guide your steps. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. In Proverbs chapter 2, God said it like this. He said, wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Notice this. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. That is, you will not try by yourself to keep yourself out of the way of evil. Because in verse 12, it says, it will deliver you from the way of evil. You will not try to prevent yourself from going the wrong way. But having received the right words and having received the right understanding from God, those words by themselves, they take care of you. You know, a lot of times people say that before you marry a wife or you marry a husband, you have to investigate where he came from. You have to investigate where she has been, which family is the person from. You do all the investigations. Now, people who tell you to do those things are not really trying to lead you astray. They think they are doing you good. They believe that they are instructing you in the way of righteousness. But the truth is that those are the ways of the world. I am not saying you shouldn't know things. I'm just explaining that sitting down to ask so many questions before you make up your mind on who to marry is a matter of walking according to your own understanding. Now, if you are somebody walking with God, like we read from Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it said, there is somebody with an evil heart whose hands are snares. It said, the one who is pleasing to God will escape from her. What am I saying? What determines whether you escape from a bad wife or a bad husband is not how much you investigate the person. It's whether your life is pleasing to God yourself. And a lot of people are looking for a good wife, looking for a good husband. You ask yourself, am I a good husband or am I a good wife? Are you getting the point I'm making? So he said here that discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Words that are planted inside you, they shape your destiny. You don't try. By themselves, they guide you in proper places. Let me tell you this. They will help you make the right business decisions. Listen, they are subconscious. They are inside your heart. They will lead you where you should go and where you shouldn't go. Now, I'm saying all of this to emphasize the point. Life is not about struggling to succeed. Life is about hearing the right words concerning success. If you hear the word of God, you will succeed where everybody else is failing. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say.
that if you hear God's word, you will succeed where everybody else is failing. Not because you try to obey that word. No. It is because you accepted the word as final. That word to you is the final authority in life. You have believed the word. What happens as a result of the word that you have believed is that your life begins to take shape according to what is inside your heart. You understand my point? Now, so I am saying all of this to encourage us to listen in to hear the truth. And I'm starting today by talking about what I call the divine plan for your destiny. If you believe what I'm about to tell you, you will never fail. If you believe what I'm saying, your life will not be cut short. If you believe what I'm saying, you will not marry a wrong husband or a wrong wife. If you believe what I'm saying, listen, you will make an impact in your generation. The problem God has with men and has with women is not that they don't try, is that they believe the wrong things. That is, people sit down, they say, this is the way it is done in our place. God said, no, that's not the way I want it done. Listen, the person has believed that this is the right way, except that that is not the seed of the kingdom. So it produces results. They are shriveled, dry, tiny fruits that cannot withstand any pressure. So the guy is in his 50s, expecting to enjoy life. He has entered into poverty. Why? He believed the wrong thing. It is not because he didn't try. Go and investigate. Most men that failed, they also tried. Sometimes people say that perseverance, the key to success. Most men that failed persevered. They persevered into failure. How you know is that they are still trying. They are poor, but they are still trying. They are not at home right now sitting down in poverty. They still get up every day trying to overcome poverty. What does that tell you? They didn't settle for poverty. Poverty came upon them. The Bible said it was like an armed man. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, success is not just about trying. Most men that try don't succeed. Yes, there's a place for trying. Are you getting my point? But doesn't guarantee success. So it's what a woman has imbibed, that is what decides whether you will succeed or you will fail. So don't forget this point. If you listen and believe what I am saying, you are on your path to success. This is the reason, and I'll start right away. Number one, I said, God made the earth, and there is nothing that occurs by accident on this earth. Everybody that was born into this earth was born into the earth for a purpose. Now, because of time, we won't read many things, but I'd like to just refer to a few scriptures. Jeremiah chapter 1, in verse 5, God spoke to Jeremiah saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. He said, I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, God was telling Jeremiah, in effect, before you ever came to this earth, I created you to perform a particular purpose. Let me just say this quickly. What we call success, you know, this is interesting about life. Jesus said something once when he met the woman at the well in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. After discussing with the woman, and disciples came and gave him food, and he said, I don't want to eat anymore. They said, why? He said, my food or my nourishment is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, there's something I wanted to note there. He said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. Now, let me explain this. There are people that can't eat certain foods. It's dangerous to their system. And there are those who can eat it, and it's not dangerous to their system. I want you to explain what Jesus said. What he was saying, in effect, is this. He said, my food is to do the will of him that sent me. That is, if I want to prosper in life, the proper food to eat is the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the satisfaction I will derive. Listen, a lot of us, we are laboring for what we not satisfy. That is, somebody gets up in the morning running and striving. At the end, he makes money. Then he sits down, he's frustrated. Now listen, this thing replaces itself every time in life. It's just that men don't take instructions or learn lessons from those who have gone before them. I mean, I remember Chris Okoti saying that the time Nigerians were hailing him and were enjoying his music, he was deep in depression and wanted to jump out from the top of Federal Palace Hotel. Are you getting my point? There are men who have succeeded that commit suicide. All you need to do is watch the story of a lot of these celebrities. They are on drugs. A lot of them are alcoholics. Why? Because satisfaction itself didn't come from what they achieved. What am I saying? Satisfaction only comes as you walk inside the place that God ordained for you to be. Why? He made you. Listen, you didn't make yourself. God did not negotiate with you before you were made. You cannot decide how your life is going to be. Your life was decided before God brought into this earth. God decided. So Jeremiah was saying here, he said, before I was formed in the womb, God knew me and consecrated me to be a prophet to the nations. Even Paul said the same thing. If you read Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, he said, but when God, who had set me even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. What is he saying here? That even before I was born, God knew that what I wanted to do is to preach Jesus Christ among the Gentiles. What am I saying? If God created you to be something, you can never have satisfaction until you become that thing. Now listen, I am not saying you will not try to achieve something else or even succeed apparently in achieving something else. But I'm saying inside you there will be absolute dissatisfaction with everything that you have achieved, except it is what God created you to be. What am I saying? True success is achieving what God called you to achieve. Now, I'm not being philosophical now. You understand what I mean? That I'm not trying to just make a statement that any man who has not achieved what he's supposed to achieve is not a success, which is a fact. But I don't just mean that on a philosophic level. I mean that if you don't achieve what God wants you to achieve, you can never be happy. This is no matter of philosophy. That is, you will be 70, you will look over your life and you will be filled with regrets. That is, you will be an old man and you will be sick and you will be depressed. That is, you will have chased after money, chased after everything everybody else is chasing after in life, yet you will not be happy despite the fact that you achieved them. There's something again Solomon said, which for me it's very important we understand. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19. He said, furthermore, as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, he has also empowered him to eat from them and to receive his reward and rejoice in his labor. He said, this is the gift of God. That is the ability to eat the money that you have and rejoice in it and be happy in your labor. It's a gift that God gives you. Listen, if God does not look at you and God is pleased with you, if you have money, you will have throat cancer. You will not be able to eat. That is, you will have so much, yet you will be starving in the midst of plenty. You will have houses. You will have no security in any of the rooms. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Is it money they are counting? You will put $1 billion in a bank account and you will not be able to spend 5 naira from it. That is, you will buy cars. Other men will drive it. You will be afraid to step into the car. Why? Because the ability to enjoy life is the gift of God. It's when God looks at you and says, you are blessed, that you will have riches and wealth and you will be empowered to eat from them and rejoice in your labor. That's what I mean when I say success is achieving what God says you should achieve. You follow what I'm saying? And when I say that, I'm not being philosophical. I mean in reality. If you don't do that, you are a failure. And that failing will manifest in your physical flesh. Sickness will set into your liver. You won't know why. Do you understand the point I'm making? So let's get that clear. Number one, God made you and he made it for a purpose. You don't get down to this earth to make up your mind what you want to do. You come down to the earth to discover what you want to do. Now, there was something we said last time, and I think I should go on and add something to it. When we read from Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said that all other things, wealth, prosperity, abundance, comfort, will be an addition that God will add to you. Now, I explained that righteousness means doing things the way God ordered things to be done. That righteousness is not just an attitude of the heart, but righteousness is the work that you do. That if God set the earth according to certain laws, and you walk in opposition to those laws, then you are walking in unrighteousness. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now, righteousness can be defined on two levels. I think I have to explain this before we leave today. And one, there is a general righteousness that is something that applies to everybody. That is, it applies to everybody that it is wrong to defraud your neighbor. It applies to everybody. It applies to everybody that the proper thing to do is when you collect money from somebody, you should give him his money back. It applies to everybody that you should be responsible in whatever you do. Now, that is general righteousness, but there is a specific form of righteousness. I said, be faithful in whatever you do, right? That's general. But what is it that you are supposed to do? That is specific. Do you understand my point? Now, remember I said that these are the words of the kingdom. If you imbibe them into your heart, they will set you on the path of righteousness by themselves. I am not trying to give you instructions on how to decide which man to rely marry. You know, people like, you know, there was a time I heard a preacher talk. He said a woman brought her son and with photograph of three young women to his office and said he should please pray and let the girl, boy know which of the three girls he should marry. And the man looked at him and drove them out. That I don't practice such a divination. That is sorcery. That is divination. That is not my job as a man of God. My job is to lead you in the path of righteousness. That is, when you imbibe the word of God, listen, by itself, that word settling in your heart will gel with one of those women, won't gel with the other ones. Do you follow me? People come sometimes and say, who should I marry? Who shouldn't I marry? Who you will marry depends on where you are going in life. Do you answer my point? If your passion is towards God, and the other, on all the men chasing you, none of them give any damn about what your God is up to. Do you need anybody? You don't need the Spirit to come and tell you none of them is the will of God. You don't. All right? So I'm explaining that if you imbibe these things, they will by themselves set you on the path of righteousness. Now, so I said there is a specific righteousness, which God said if you indulge in that righteousness, you will find that all other things will indeed be added to you. That is, be sure that you are found where you are supposed to be found. Do you understand what I mean? Because God created it for a purpose. He appointed Jeremiah. Now, let me just say this again. I read two examples here about Jeremiah and about Paul. Now, don't at any time think that this only applies to those prophets. No. We are only reading their stories because they were the ones that obeyed the word of God in their lives. There are many other people that were called who didn't obey God, so we don't have their stories to read. Do you understand the point I'm making? There are many. It's not just them. Everybody born into this life was born for a purpose. And if you walk in that purpose of God, then you will indeed meet destiny. Let me explain something again about destiny. Destiny does not mean that what my life will be has been determined and there is nothing I can do about it. That's not the meaning of predestination or destiny. Listen, this is what destiny means. God has a plan for my life. I choose to walk in it or I choose to walk out of it. If I walk out of God's plan, I automatically walk in the devil's plan and I will get somewhere. Destiny means that if I put my feet on the path of walking in a manner that is pleasing to God, I will get to the place that God wants me to get to. And if I decide that I will not walk with God like that, I will get to a place that God doesn't desire, but he knows I will get to. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That is, God has a will. He wants to get somewhere. If you don't walk in a way that will get you there, he knows where you will get to. So you'll be able to tell ahead of time that this guy will fall into the lake. It is not because he willed or destined for him to fall into a lake. No. It's just because he realized that the way you are driving in this life, there is no way you will not crash over that bridge. That is what destiny is. Destiny doesn't mean that God knows whether I will be rich or I will be poor. God says, if you do what I'm telling you to do, you will be rich. And my plan for your life is that you'll be successful. However, if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, you will fail. It is not my plan, but I know it ahead of time that these are the things that lead men to failure. Now, I'd like to just say something before I close today. I'd like to read from Colossians chapter 1. I just want to bring out a few verses and I'll make a point from it. He was talking about Jesus Christ. He said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. All things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, I want to notice something here. He said that this same Jesus Christ, it was the Father's good pleasure through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And although you were formerly alienated, notice this, and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you through death in order to present you before him, that is God, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. What I wanted to understand here is this. I explained that God created all of us for a purpose. But when we were born into this life, most of us went astray. Very few of us went according to God's purpose for our lives. Now, let me tell you something when we talk about being born again. A lot of people don't know what it means. They think it means to just start going to church and dressing like those who are in church. To be born again means to forsake my former life and ask Jesus to lead me back to the Father so that I can now walk in the path that he created me to walk in. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, previously, you were alienated and hostile in mind, and you were engaged in evil deeds. Now, that describes virtually every human being on this earth. That is the way they were. But this is a fact. It has not changed the fact that God created them for a purpose. Listen, the armed robber you see on the road, shooting, maiming, and killing, stealing from innocent people. God never created him to be a thief. Now, God doesn't force people to become anything. He creates them for a purpose, but it doesn't force them to become anything. What causes them to become one thing or another, those things are the choices that they make in life. Now, no matter what your choices have been, he said, Jesus has now reconciled you by the death on the cross. Are you getting the point I'm making? You know, there's something that's going on in our church right now. They say, I am better than this. That is, our convention is coming up, and the theme is, I am better than this. Most people you see on the road, drive at night, you see prostitutes on the road. God never created anybody to be a prostitute. Do you understand my point? You see, but the devil has given some young women a picture, young men a picture, that you can never amount to anything except you sleep with a big man. So you see her moving from one big man's bed to another. She has become a glorified harlot because she has heard the word that says that I am nothing in life except I indulge in iniquity. But Jesus said, no, I can reconcile you back to the Father, forgive you of all your sins, and make you what God exactly wanted you to be. See the young man who's stealing? It is because he felt that you are dead without money. And says, I cannot get a good job. I cannot get to do a good business. I need to get me a gun and steal from those that have. God said, in reality, you are better than this. I created you to be a job creator, giving jobs to young men and paying people's fees in school. But here you are a thief. Very soon, if you don't change your ways, I will send judgment in your direction, and somebody is going to shoot you, and you will die, and your life will have been wasted. That indeed you are better than this. It will not be right if I end without explaining this principle, that if there's anybody listening to me who has been following his own path in life, are you getting what I'm saying? Who has been pursuing after his own deeds, the person is alienated from God and hostile in mind. He doesn't understand that God made me for a purpose, and I'm better than this thing that I'm engaging in right now. God never created me to be a thief. God never created me to be a failure. He did not create me to be a prostitute. He created me to be a child of God, making an impact in my generation, doing the will of God, producing something good, affecting the lives of people around me, becoming something great upon this earth, growing up to become very influential, that many people who need help will run to my house. I am better than what I am engaging right now. But how can I get out? It's very simple. He said, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. The Bible said there is nobody that comes to Jesus that he will ever cast away. None. The worst of sinners found refuge before him. When a woman was caught in the very act of adultery, Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. However, go and sin no more. That is, henceforth, I empower you to walk righteously. That is what it means to be born again. It doesn't mean that I now go to church. Whether you encounter this in the gutter or encounter it on a mountain makes no difference. Jesus is the same Jesus on the mountain that you can find also in the depths of hell, if that's where you are going to encounter him. And he can save anybody at any time. That is actually my main message for today.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to www.kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.